the pharmacy chain CVS is halting sales of tobacco products almost a month ahead of schedule. It's part of a branding overhaul that hopes will emphasize consumers a focus on health and wellness.
It's the first national pharmacy chain to end tobacco sales, and it means that e-cigarettes are also off the market. But will business decisions and market forces like this help people kick the habit, or will smokers just shop somewhere else?
Dr. Michael Fiore joins us now. He's director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Fiore, thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for inviting me.
So, big news in the tobacco world, I imagine, with CVS, a big pharmacy chain, saying, hey, we get $2 billion from tobacco sales, we're going to stop selling them. But does this make a difference for people who are out there smoking? Is this going to lead anybody to quit?
Well, I think it makes a substantial difference for a lot of reasons. First, when you think about what pharmacies do, they're in the business of promoting health. And what a disconnect. A business that sells medicine and a variety of products to help us keep healthy, it just doesn't make sense to, in those same locales, to sell a product that, if used as directed, kills half of the people who use it. So I think this is an incredible step forward and a powerful statement that CVS is in the business of health, not in the business of selling products to kill half of the people that use them.
Well, to take it one step further, if we picture, you know, the cash register at a pharmacy, often there's some prime eye space there on those shelves currently devoted to cigarettes. They say, at least for at the outset, they're going to have boxes of a smoking cessation free pack. It's going to include coupons for a smoking cessation product. Dr. Fiore, what would you like to see in that packet that they'll hand out people who ask for it?
Well, what we know is that most smokers here in Wisconsin and across the United States now tell us they want to quit. In fact, more than 7 out of 10 smokers today say they want to quit. About half of smokers, more than 50%, try to quit every year. One challenge is most people are trying to quit on their own cold turkey and failing. And if you could quit on your own, more power to you. But for the majority of smokers today who are addicted to tobacco, they can benefit from counseling. They could benefit from the 7 FDA-approved medications. They could benefit from support structures. They can benefit from calling the quit line that's available in all 50 states at 1-800-QUIT-NOW. They could benefit from accessing the National Cancer Institute's website, smokefree.gov. So my hope is that CVS is going to provide access to all of these treatment options, knowing that there won't be a one-size-fits-all to help all smokers to quit. And the more options that are science-based that we provide to smokers, the more of them who want to quit will be able to do so successfully.
Now, you're in the field of public health and tobacco and smoking. Have people in your line of work been lobbying pharmacies like CVS and Walgreens to take these products off the shelf, or is this just an unexpected freebie for you guys?
Well, I think that there has been a movement for really more than a decade to align pharmacy industry with this disconnect and to take away this disconnect that has pharmacies selling cigarettes. Many independent pharmacists took this action long before CVS. And many pharmacists who own their own stores have taken this action. And to all of those trailblazers, they're to be commended. But once one of the big kahunas, one of the big players in the pharmacy market, take such an action, and CVS is the second largest pharmacy chain in America, it really does make a powerful statement. And frankly, it challenges the other big players, particularly Walgreens, to take similar action. It really shines a light on other pharmacies like Walgreens and says, how can you be selling a product that's going to kill half the people that use it when you're in the business of promoting health?
Do you think Walgreens will be another shoe that drops in the next year or two?
I have no idea personally, but boy, if I were the leaders of Walgreens and Rite Aid and the other big pharmacy chains, I would be thinking long and hard about what they're in the business of promoting and how can they be left behind, particularly now that CVS has taken this important step forward.
Well, another big issue in the smoking world now, CVS says they're also not going to sell e-cigarettes. Now, these have only been on the market for a little while, and I know the research is young on the impact they have. What do we know so far as the about the concept of e-cigarettes as a tool against smoking addiction?
Well, you know, as you just said, e-cigarettes is probably the product that's gotten the most news with the least information to back that news up, and that's something that hopefully will get resolved over the next few years. But you know, I'm a physician, and one of the primary tenets of medicine is a concept of do no harm, and I think that CVS took the right action. Since we don't know much about e-cigarettes, why put people at risk, particularly when there are options that have been determined by the FDA to be safe and effective, and particularly when there are the sorts of counseling options that could help smokers to quit? Will e-cigarettes ultimately be judged as a helpful option? Possibly. But at this point, we have no idea. And, you know, when I'm asked about this by e-cigarette companies, what I say to them is, if in fact your products are safe and effective for smokers to transition to, why not submit them to the FDA, do the kind of testing that is independent and allows an individual to make an informed judgment, and get your product approved as a substitute for smoking. And until the e-cigarette companies go to the FDA with evidence that show that these products are safe and effective, my approach is do no harm. Let's use agents and treatments that have been tested and don't hurt the people who use them.
So when we look at other nicotine replacement products, things like gum and patch that people are familiar with, they have had that kind of research and
approval?
Without
a question. They've been tested extensively by the FDA. And in fact, the FDA has now approved 7 separate medications, most of which are over-the-counter, like the nicotine products you just talked about, have approved them as safe and effective. And it's not just medicines we're talking about here. Anyone anywhere in America can pick up the phone and dial 1-800-QUIT-NOW. They'll get a counselor who's been trained to help them to quit every step of the way. Any smoker in America can get on their computer and dial www.smokefree.gov, and you'll get the National Cancer Institute's best science on using the web to quit successfully. Any smoker can talk to her doctor and say, help me to develop a quit plan and move forward to break free of tobacco addiction. Increasingly, physicians are trained and have the tools to do that. So we've got options out there, and I'm glad to hear that CVS is going to be promoting those science-based options so more people who want to quit can do that successfully, and that's almost all smokers in America today.
You mentioned developing that sort of personal quitting plan. Is it hard to get a one-size-fits-all approach? Do different things work for different smokers?
Smokers are people. They're individuals. They come to the table with a variety of different experiences, and they differ in terms of the type of smoker they are and the degree of dependence upon tobacco and nicotine they have. Some are incredibly dependent upon nicotine. They've got a physical dependence upon this powerful drug, and that's a different approach than an individual who smokes on weekends when they're consuming significant quantities of alcohol and might have a different approach to helping them to quit. So it shouldn't be a one-size-fits-all, just as with any other chronic disease we treat as physicians. And we talk about tobacco dependence now, not as some bad habit, but as a chronic disease. And just as with diabetes or hyperlipidemia or hypertension, there are now an arsenal of effective science-based treatments that could help people who have the chronic disease of tobacco dependence to put that disease in remission.
We're talking with Dr. Michael Fiore. He's director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health about the end of tobacco products at a major pharmacy chain.
And we hope you'll join our conversation. Are you a smoker? Were you buying your tobacco products at CVS? Who's stopping carrying those products? What is your decision to strip tobacco products from the shelves? What does that decision mean to you? And will you double down on the efforts to quit now? Does it nudge you in that direction? Or will you just take your money and your business somewhere else? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@WPR.org. CVS is the first major pharmacy chain to pull tobacco products off its shelves. We're talking with Dr. Michael Fiore about what impact, if any, that will have on smokers.
And we want to hear from you. Should pharmacies sell cigarettes and other tobacco products? Have you tried to quit smoking? Were you successful? What made the difference either way? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can tweet us at Central Time WPR. Go to a caller now. We've got Steve on the line in Ashland. Steve, hi. You're on the air.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Great program, great content. I wanted to pass along, you had asked the doctor about if Walgreens was going to follow suit. I was at the local Walgreens in Ashland last evening, and I asked them that very question, and they were in the process, they said, of pulling off all their tobacco products within the week.
No kidding. So, just in that local Walgreens.
In the local Walgreens. Now, I didn't ask him if it was a corporate policy, but I'm assuming it is.
Steve, thanks for the call. I haven't heard any move, Dr. Fiore, for Walgreens to do that nationwide, as we were talking about earlier. Kind of surprised to hear a local branch doing that.
Yeah. Well, first, I think it's great that you asked your local Walgreens. Would they consider taking a similar policy? And they've already made a decision to do so. Corporate Walgreens has not yet made that corporate decision. But what the caller just described is the sort of action that will really make a difference. I went into the local CVS here in Madison and complimented the manager on the fact that his company had made this important corporate decision, and he told me that I was one of many, many individuals who have told leadership of local CVS stores across America that they are to be commended for making their pharmacy smoke-free. They're in the business for health, and this applies to Walgreens as well as every other pharmacy. I hope they do the right thing and make all of their pharmacies smoke-free.
Steve, thanks for the call and for sharing that. We'll go now to Gay in Madison. Gay, hi.
Yeah, hi. I have a couple of points I'd like to make. First, I quit smoking only, and I tried for years, only when I became pregnant. And I don't know whether it was the hormones, the pregnancy, or just my knowledge that I couldn't do this to the baby. But, that's what worked for me, finally, and I haven't gone back in 25 years. But my husband has a problem in that he would love to quit, and he was a chipper. He could just smoke socially for years, but now he's truly addicted. And so he tried the e-cigarettes, but now I don't think they're a cure at all because he tends to just use both.
Okay, thanks a lot for the call. Dr. Fiore, is that something we see, or again, given limited research, that people might keep smoking cigarettes and e-cigs?
Yeah, well, great point. First, ma'am, you know, you quit for your baby, but you quit for yourself, and what a gift to both of you to be quit during pregnancy and to stay quit after you deliver. Your story is not an uncommon one of women able to successfully quit during pregnancy. There's an enormous proportion of those women who, though, relapse after they deliver. So you're a great model, and I commend you for that. To this issue of what's called dual use, both using e-cigarettes as well as using regular or combusted cigarettes. In fact, when we talk to people, this is the rule rather than the exception. People who end up using both e-cigarettes as well as traditional cigarettes, some surveys say 70% of people who use e-cigarettes don't use them exclusively, but use them along with regular cigarettes. And that's really a tragedy from this perspective. If a person was thinking about quitting and instead started using e-cigarettes part-time but continued using the deadly combusted cigarettes, how unfortunate that individual's motivation to quit didn't lead to the healthy goal, and that is no combusted cigarettes.
Gay, good luck to your husband. Congratulations on quitting, and congratulations on the baby, a little late. Erica in Kewaskum is with us now. Erica, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I have been quit for, I think, 13 months now, and the biggest thing that helped me was to just kind of know really how nicotine works in the body. I had purchased a bunch of products to help me try to quit, including an e-cigarette and some nicotine patches. And then I had read a book that really helped me understand how I react to nicotine and how my mind is addicted to it. And that I ended up not even using any of the patches or the e-cigarette, just quit cold the next day after 15 years of smoking a pack a day. And I was perfectly fine. Like, once I understood how it works, it was great, but I mean, the only problem being every once in a while it obviously like comes back up in my mind, and it's not helpful to be in places like Walgreens picking up a prescription, walking through a checkout and seeing tobacco products there because it's so easy to just buy something.
Yeah.
Wow, Erica,
yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that. So that that availability to Erica a year after quitting, the temptation is there in the pharmacy.
Yeah. I mean, that Erica, what a great point. In your experience of going through these pharmacies and having the availability of the products being an unnecessary temptation is actually not an uncommon one. To the fact that you were able to quit on your own, more power to you. I think it's wonderful that you did that, and it's great that you, in essence, did some self-counseling, sought out resources to support you, these resources you used on your own via the book that you purchased, and that is great. We talked earlier, there doesn't have to be a one-size-fits-all. Whatever you can do as an individual to get off of this product that sadly is going to kill half of the people addicted to it. Nationwide now, 500,000 Americans are killed every year from tobacco, and we almost get numbed by those numbers, but for every one of those, there's a child that has lost a parent, there's a brother who has lost a sibling, there is a friend who has lost a loved one. These are people whose lives are being cut short because of addiction to a deadly drug that sadly is legal.
Erica, thanks a lot for the call. It sounds like Erica effectively quit on her first try. That's not the norm. I think a lot of people, it takes a couple of times. How do you recommend people get over maybe a sense of discouragement, of failure, if they try once and don't quit? They try again and they don't quit.
Yeah, great point. And just to normalize this, the average smoker takes between 4 and 5 attempts to successfully quit, but it ranges from 1 up to 100 or more for some people. You know, when I tell people who've tried, you've learned something. You're smarter as a result of having tried, and with that knowledge, you can be stronger. And the statistics tell us that the more times you try, the more likely you are to quit. So don't give up. You can do this. You'll get smarter and stronger with every effort. You can break free of tobacco dependence.
We'll leave it with those words of encouragement. Dr. Fiore, thanks for joining us.
Good talking with you.
This is Dr. Michael Fiore. He's director of the Center for Tobacco Research and Intervention at the UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about the pharmacy giant CVS's decision to take tobacco off the shelves a month ahead of schedule.